Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Drake Podcasts of Joy, where we are going, go so what? The weather's got you down. The brakes on your car don't work anymore. You're looking at your wallet, at your waistline, wondering what's going on. Don't worry. Let's spend the next few minutes talking about grace, talking about joy, talking about gozo today on the Drake Podcast of Joy on episode 124 on this lovely Thursday, April 28th. My dear gozo family, I'm going to be talking to you about what to do in your first 90 days at work or in a new opportunity. You know, spring is here. The loveliness of April has come and gone, and here comes May. And then before we know it, we will be into June, which is obviously the time where some people are off from school, from work. Others, you know, they just keep going, keep rolling through life. But it definitely is a time, you know, a summer time, a time to be with those who we love, a time to think about new opportunities. And obviously, if you are a follower of the Drake Podcast of Joy, by the way, thank you for the 5,000 monthly listeners that we have. Thank you. We're growing leaps and bounds. So thank you for sharing this episode with your friends. The way you do that is simply just go to davidtrigg.com/124, and you can just see this episode, listen to this episode, and then share that with your friends. You can text your friends. There's that link. You can message them on Facebook, whatever it may be. But as you may know, my point was that if you're a listener of the podcast, then you know that just last week I had the greatest joy of my life, and that is to become the lead pastor of a beautiful church here in Bellflower, California, and called Neighborhood Christian Fellowship. And I am just in awe of what God has done in my life and the lives of this amazing and beautiful church. And so as you can imagine, I'm thinking a lot about my first 90 days. And you may have read a lot of leadership books. I know I've read a ton of them called, you know, Your First 90 Days, What to Do in the First 3 Months of Your Life or Your Career or Your New Opportunity. And also I've been through several, at least two or three times where I've been the new guy. And you always learn a lot, you know, from those new situations. And so you might be entering a new situation. Maybe your 90 days is just the summer. And so maybe you're thinking ahead of June, July, and August, and you're thinking, you know, how do I go into that season? Maybe it's something more, kind of like me, you know, it is a new job opportunity, or maybe you're the one on the receiving end. Somebody else is new in your life, and so you're wondering, how do I then prepare? Or it could be that your new normal is happening in the fall. Maybe you're entering a new season. Perhaps you are being promoted. Maybe you are moving on from high school to college, or from college to maybe out of college, or a new career. So I think that all of these things will definitely help you. So here are four things to do in your first 90 days. Number one is ask God for wisdom. There's no doubt in my life, my dear gozo family, that you and I need to just learn, like Solomon, to ask for wisdom. You know, I love how Solomon, the smartest man in the world, you know, the wisest man in the world, who wasn't perfect, but when he first came into his position as the son of David, you know, he was literally the firstborn of David. And so imagine the responsibility, the privilege to be that. But not only that, but second, God had given him through his father David the responsibility to build the very first temple ever. So, you know, just to take you back to the history, up until that time of Solomon, there was no place to worship. Imagine if there were no churches in your community. That's how it used to be back in those days for David and Solomon. There was no temple. People worshiped in tents. People worshiped at the synagogues. There was no one place to gather. And so God had given Solomon the task to build this temple. And so that meant that he had to draw up plans. That meant he had to, you know, raise the money. That meant he had to speak to a bunch of people about how to do this and how to build that and what to put in the temple. So, but instead of him just getting started, he asked God for one thing. And he said, Lord, above all things, give me wisdom to rule and guide your people. And I find that that is a very awesome request. And guess what happened? God not only gave him that, but then he also gave him wealth. He gave him success. He gave him basically all of his dreams and desires. And so, and the reason why God did that is because he was so pleased with Solomon's humble prayer. And so that's the first thing, Gozo family. You might be going into a new situation and the temptation is to get busy, right? The temptation is to begin to do, especially if you're a doer. I'm a doer. I'm an active type. I like to get things done. And it is easy to forget that we need the wisdom from above. You know, it's also easy to rely not just on doing, but on listening to other people's wisdom. You begin to ask people and ask mentors and all things that I'm for, but we forget to ask the source of all wisdom. The source of wisdom is Jesus, is God. It says that Christ has, Paul says that we need to have the mind of Christ. In Proverbs 1, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and that fools despise wisdom. So in other words, it is easy to not be a wise person these days. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Have you ever met an unwise leader? Have you ever met a principal or someone at work or someone that you work for, a boss, that acts unwisely? All of us, right? And the reason is because, especially when you're new, it is easy, the temptation is to be in charge, to take control, to think that it's all about you, that you have to protect your territory, that you need to boss people around. And that is, not only is it really bad leadership, but it lacks wisdom. Number two is to activate your gifts. To activate the talents and the gifts that God's given you. What I mean by activate is to actually act and to do something with what God's given you. You know, maybe kind of as a balance to number one, it's good to ask God for wisdom, but soon in the first 90 days, you need to begin to activate that which God has given you. And again, what I mean by activate is to be yourself. You know, the reason why you were hired, the reason why you got that promotion or you're going into a new season is because God has opened doors and God has brought you to that place because he has put a certain gift in you. He has put certain talents and priorities in your heart. He's called you to do something great. And so the mistake that as a leader you can make or as a person who, again, is going into a new situation is that we then forget the very thing that God's put in us. Maybe because we get busy, maybe because we relax. It could be that you feel like, okay, now I'm going to just sort of sit back and just wait for someone else to do something greater, for complaints to come my way. Instead, what God has to, or what we need to do, is to remember that God has given us a call. And so to activate that. So what do I mean by that? So for example, if you have been brought into a place as a change agent, put into place the change agent motives and plan into action in the first 90 days. Don't wait until year two or into year three. And I know there's a balance. And I've read so many books and I've made my own mistakes and I've also had some successes. There's a balance. You can't just simply act and just begin to change everything. You need to listen. That's why that first one is so important, and asking God for wisdom primarily. But don't forget to activate your gifts. So if you are a very kind person, be sure that you are acting out of kindness. If you are a systems person, begin to put systems in place. Perhaps your gift is to love people deeply. Begin to go to people's homes or begin to call people that you love and let them know that you, or people that you're getting to know and let them know that you care. Number three is to listen. I just mentioned that listening is, I would say, maybe the number one thing. And I only put it third here because I'm convinced that wisdom and activation are crucial. But I would say number three could easily be number one, and that's to listen. What do I mean by listen? You know, one of the things that I think is a temptation for leaders, for anyone going into a new situation, for someone who's in charge or someone who's been around for a while, is to become inoculated. In other words, they no longer hear the needs of the people. They no longer hear someone who perhaps hasn't been heard in years. When we listen to people, we begin to notice those who are tired, those who are weary, those who need to maybe be pushed in a certain direction or to be, you know, kicked in the butt. You know, when you begin to listen, you are watching and using those intuitive gifts that God's given us. You know, maybe you're an empath or a compassionate type. You're an intuitive type. Use those gifts to listen to people, to listen to what's happening around you, what people talk about in the office. If you are a staff member and you have a senior leader or a manager, listen to how he or she talks and pay attention. Write those things down and begin to notice what affirms that person, what gets in there on their nerves, how they communicate with others, what are the resources or tools or ways that they like to encourage people, what encourages him or her, and begin to take note of that. You know, be what's called emotionally intelligent. Begin to think about, what are the personalities of this team? What does this person receive as affirmation or as love? What is this person like? Are they an introvert? In other words, they like to refresh alone, so they need some downtime. Are they extroverts? So they need constant communication and people around them. You know, so think through all of those things, but really more than thinking is listening. I was reading a book the other night and on leadership, and the guy was saying that more than, just an example, more than driving through a neighborhood that is new to you, that it is better to walk through the neighborhood. I love it because Jesus also said that he walked from village to village and that he had compassion for the people because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Have you ever walked through a neighborhood? Begin to walk through your streets, walk through your home, walk outside of your building where you work, walk outside of your school, and just ask God to reveal to you his heart of compassion for people, for their values, for who they are. And then number four is to make sure that you thank those that are tired. To thank people that have been holding down the fort before you got there. Remember that you aren't the first leader, president, you know, principal or lead pastor that they've ever had. And in your absence, especially if there's been a gap or there's been a change in leadership, there have been those who have been holding down the fort that need to be thanked. And I'm reading this book that is so awesome called How to Thank Your Employees or How to Make Awesome Appreciation Parties. And it's so incredible. I'm going to leave the link to that book here at the bottom of the show. Check it out. But it's basically, the principle is that when you want to affirm or thank people, there are four principles. The first principle, by the way, the book is called Make Their Day, Employee Recognition That Works by Cindy Ventris. And so the four elements of recognition that works are praise. Number two is give thanks. Number three is opportunity, give opportunity. And number four is give respect. And I love those because thanks is number one. You know, everyone likes to be thanked for a job well done, for something specific. Number two is thanks. Number one was praise. So to praise them and say, look at this, what this person has done. And he says that you can do that publicly, or she, Cindy, says you can do it publicly, privately, or through email or through cards. Number two is give thanks to someone. Number three, I like this one, is to give people new opportunities. And then number four is respect. And I think that last one, at least for me, I would say the ones that I need the most are number three and number four is opportunity and respect. And so you may want to ask yourself, first, what do you need out of those four things? What's the number one way that you receive appreciation and thanks? And then more importantly is, how does your team receive praise? What is it that they value most? So those are the four tips, my dear Gosa family. And then I want to give you now some practical ways to do that. What are the actual practical tools that you can use to become an awesome leader, an awesome servant in the first 90 days? So first, as I mentioned, is this resource, this book that I just mentioned, Make Their Day. And so you may want to just go and pick up that book and read it, and maybe read it with your team. Number two is to take time to get away. You know, instead of going into a new situation unprepared or just sort of reacting or maybe overthinking the first 90 days, make sure that you take time to go away before you walk into that first day. You know, for me, I'm going to be over the next 3-4 weeks. I don't start my new job until the end of May. I'm going to be going away for a 3-day retreat just to go and listen to God, to literally ask God for wisdom, to begin to pray. I'm going to bring with me a roster of my new church, some pictures of my new staff, and just to begin to ask God for wisdom. Lord, what is your heart for this church? What is your heart for this neighbor? I'm going to bring with me some of the Bellflower, the churches in Bellflower, just like the City Hall, Welcome to Bellflower publicity that they put out, and just lay that out in front of my desk and just begin to lay hands over the DMV, the City Hall, the schools, the broken parts of the neighborhood, the opportunities, other churches that I want to work with, the schools, and just to, more than anything, just to ask God to break my heart for what breaks His. So that would be great. Number three is, I read another book called Illuminate, and it talks about the power of three things: symbols, stories, and ceremonies. And what I mean by that, or what the book, the authors mean, is that when you are going into a new situation, it is important to use all communication tools, not just oral or not just speaking, but to use symbols. So in other words, you might want to hang something on the wall as a symbol of what your vision is for this new era, this new season in your life. Stories, those are important. You might be already thinking of or noticing that God is doing some amazing things in your life, and they are specific things. Maybe someone said something to you that just really changed your mind, changed your heart. Perhaps something happened with someone on your team or a child that you serve with, and that story really impacted you and reminded you of why you do what you do. The point is, gather those stories and choose one as a symbol again, but it's a story that reminds you why you do what you do. And most of all, that you begin to communicate over and over again to the people that you lead so they also can be excited with you. And then lastly is ceremonies. I love that. In other words, those are actual activities that you do together with your people, with your church, with your staff, with your classroom, if you're an educator, so that you have some traditions, basically, that you do over and over again. They could be funny. They could be serious. They could be educational. They could be just simply normal things that you do. For example, here at our house, we have many traditions that have brought us together over the last few years. For example, we as a family have many traditions that we have done over the last few years that have really helped us. One of the things that we have done is, or a tradition is called Family Fun Friday. And basically, that's a time where we as a family, we watch a movie, we all are home, no one's busy doing a million things or on their phones or going out to football games, but instead the family gathers to watch a movie that we all love, to eat some ice cream, maybe get some popcorn or some pizza, kind of have one of those free days, that you kind of really look forward to. And the whole idea is to make it into a family fun Friday, to come together, because many times as a family, we are so busy, as most families are, doing a million things. And so those ceremonies are so important to the life of a new situation, a new church, a new team, so that people can begin to sort of develop a rhythm of love, of relationship, of trust, and of opportunities. And then the last one is to walk the neighborhood. I already mentioned that one earlier. And I really literally mean to walk. I don't mean to drive. I don't mean to Google Earth it. I literally mean to park your car outside of your home, outside of your job, outside of your new church, and to walk the neighborhood at least once a week for the first 3 months. And what that does is it gets you in tune with the sounds, with the smells of a new place. It could be that someone makes barbecue every Thursday afternoon or has carne asada, on Sunday mornings. And what that does is it binds your heart with the lives of people. When you're walking by, like I did that the other day, there were kids on their phones, they were on skateboards, and I began to just kind of get a sense for the neighborhood. I saw a young lady that whose car was falling apart driving around the church. I saw an older lady who was maybe in her 70s, who probably lives in a senior housing building next to our church, she was hustling. She was going like at 80 miles an hour just on her, I think it was a walker, or maybe she was just walking on her own. I noticed that there were some homes that have bars on their windows, others that are beautifully remodeled that look just brand new. And the only way that you can really notice that is by walking, because it slows down your heartbeat. Literally, the pace of your movement is so much slower, obviously, than going 30 miles an hour or 25 miles an hour through a neighborhood. It slows you down, so your senses come alive. You begin to notice new things, and it gives you a deeper heart for your community. So I hope, my dear family, Gosa family, that these four tips and these practical tools have served you well, so that when you are going into a new situation, like I am, maybe in the summer or in the fall, that you can just consider these things. Again, ask God for wisdom, number one. Number two, activate your gifts. Number three is to listen. And then number four is to thank those that are tired. And I feel like these tools will help all of us become amazing servant leaders, and to shed and to get rid of the notion of leadership today, which is violent, bold, aggressive, whether you're a male or a female, that you have to be completely, you know, insulated from feelings, from people, and you have to be some sort of superhero that no one can keep up with and no one can really be. And instead, you can really listen to some of these other emotions and other resources, like the ones I just gave you, that I'm convinced are what Jesus would do, that are the ways that he himself lived. And so, you know, if you want to even think about that as we wrap up, you know, these four things are things that Jesus did. He listened to his Father in heaven. He asked God for wisdom all the time. He listened to people. He activated his own call that he had upon his life. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And he thanked people constantly, always loving children, always loving the Samaritan woman, loving people all around him, thanking them, affirming them, calling them to greatness. So thank you, my dear Gosa family. I want to, before I go, remind you of a few things. I have a few courses that I'm doing this summer that I'm excited to putting together. One is called Spiritual Power, and that is 10 short 18-minute videos that I'm putting together so that if you are lacking spiritual power in your life, you want some of these things that you hear here in the podcast, you want things that maybe you never learned in church or at home or at school, and you know that you need something greater in your life than just the day-to-day, then I invite you to go to lifeofgoso.com/spiritualpower so that you can sign up to receive the newsletter, the emails, as I prepare this course. And then if you are a worship leader, and you're someone who loves music, loves worship, and you just want to learn more tools, not just musical tools, but biblical tools, character tools, how to work with leaders, how to build teams, how to disciple others, how to grow a ministry from, let's say, 5 to 50, all things that by the grace of God I've been able to see in my life, I want to invite you to go to lifeofgoso.com/worship mentor, worship mentor. Thank you again, everybody, for being here with me. Thank you so much for your love, for the 5,000 monthly listeners. Thank you for your support. Remember that though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning. Have a great rest of this day. Have a great rest of this week. Have a great rest of this month. And I will see you next time. Adios.